Hello, everybody. Welcome along to the Event Industry News Podcast with me, James Dixon, wishing you all a very good morning, afternoon or evening, whenever or wherever you tune into this week's episode of the podcast from. So I'm going to begin today just by saying thank you very much to everybody who's been on the podcast so far this year. We've had some great guests. We've had loads of different topics already and some great feedback on the editions that have already been published and been listened to and watched by people. So thanks for your continued support with the podcast. Thanks for getting in touch with us for podcast suggestions and ideas. And thanks to all of our guests who, without whom we would have no podcast. It would be me sat at the piano at home with my laptop balanced on top of it, rambling away irreverently for half an hour or so once a week. So let's move on with today's episode, today's conversation. And we recently spoke to a guest from Closer Still Media, Laura Shapiro. And in that podcast, if you've already listened to it, you may have heard a name being dropped of a colleague of hers who she said, oh, they can shed some more light on that particular area when they come on and be your guest. So I'm delighted that time has ticked by and we've got to that point where I can now pick the brains of that person that was referenced on a previous episode. I'm delighted to say that joining the podcast today is the head of digital and CRM at Closer Still, Rakeem Asher. Rakeem, a very warm welcome to the Event Industry News podcast.
Hi, James. Thank you for the intro. And good to know that Laura Shapiro has been talking about me.
Absolutely. And what I must notice in the background looks like a very professional sort of audio podcast setup. It looks like acoustic paneling on the walls. It looks like you're in a recording studio.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's not my home. Just down the road, there's a few studios. And luckily, you get a decent discounted rate. So it popped in here for the afternoon.
Well, it's very, very kind of you to have adopted such a sort of professional stance to this. You know, we have had guests tune in from all sorts of great places at Starbucks and, you know, restaurants and the departure lounges of airports before via Wi-Fi connection. So, you know, it's great, and it's a great connection that we've got to you today. So hopefully we can hear what you've got to say loud and clear. As I said in the introductions there, Rakeem, you're the group head of digital and CRM at Closer Still, who are now, or have been for some time, you know, an international organizer and producer of events across quite a wide spectrum as well. Before we sort of get into maybe sort of the nitty-gritty of the technology offering and what's done day to day in terms of the event side of things, perhaps give us a little bit of history about who you are and your career pathway and how it's led you to being in the role that you're in today.
Yeah, so my career started within the events industry just over 6 years ago now. I had quite a keen interest in the industry. Whilst I was working in the insurance sector, I progressed into like a digital marketing role. Not out of luck, I was like really interested in digital marketing, learned lots online. It was like about 6 years ago, it was still like an area of marketing that was a bit of like an unknown territory. So I think I got ahead of the curve and learned a lot. Used to attend a lot of industry events around digital marketing, like technology for marketing. And then I was like, actually, do you know what? I would like to work in the exhibition industry. Was searching and searching for a role in digital marketing in events, and they just weren't really around then. And then one randomly popped up at a company that I used to work for previously. And then, yeah, the rest is history. Been in events ever since.
And interesting you say that about the job role, you know, couldn't really find one, because I've spoken to quite a few people who are, you know, very much technology related in the industry on the podcast recently. And something that came out is that a lot of the job roles, you know, just didn't exist 5 years ago, even, you know, certainly go back 10 years and, you know, head of digital and CRM wouldn't have existed as a job title. And I guess it shows how good we've been as an industry in events to adopt digital technology and digital media, but also how quickly those mediums themselves have evolved.
Yeah, exactly. I think a lot of marketers were put on the pressure on them to evolve into digital. And whilst we still do that at the moment, but back then they had a real pressure and they weren't really investing in like specialized individuals. But it's good to see that the industry finally did it around that time, and yeah, now look at us, there's loads of us.
Absolutely. We start a conference just for that particular, you know, that peer group, you know, people who work in these job roles. As head of digital, It might seem an odd question to ask, but what does that actually entail? Because it can mean many things, you know, being in charge of something digital. Is that digital marketing? Is it the digital and technology platforms that, you know, the shows will use to actually run and execute their shows? Does it encompass all of those things? Tell us a bit more about the actual role.
Yeah, it does. So over the last, so I've been at Closer Still for the last 3 years, and digital was very much a new territory for them. They worked with a lot of digital agencies, but having that in-house expertise was like quite foreign to them. So I was meeting with a lot of like stakeholders across various departments like sales, marketing, operations to really understand what had been done and then what we want to focus on. So I had a really, it was just me and one individual at the time. And then we were tasked with assessing where our shows were in terms of digital marketing, whether that be the paid media landscape, like the upkeep of our websites, SEO, email marketing, like digital covers it all, right? And so does my role. And then what we were able to do is create like prototypes for shows to actually demonstrate how digital could be delivered for an event in conjunction with your traditional marketing. And over time, more and more prototypes on shows, and then it's led us to develop an actual digital department with specialized individuals within them. So we have digital marketing managers who work really closely with show teams to really understand the marketing strategy, which then they go away and either help them apply it by using their execs or assistants to run like paid digital campaigns, or working closely with their marketing team directly to upskill them to run traditional marketing and digital marketing alongside it. And I'd say another big part of my role is account managing all of our digital systems, working with the likes of like ASP and Gleaning and so on, and bringing new event tech into the business. That's been like one really enjoyable part of my roles, is because there's so much tech out there, right? It's almost overwhelming. And then you really got to find your right vendor to be able to bring that into a business successfully, especially given the size of Closer Still. There's so many events, right? And you need to find that right tech that either works for all or works for a certain portfolio.
It's a good point that you raise there for a company of your size, because whilst it may be different for, you know, independent organisers who maybe have one, two, a handful of shows in their portfolio, they may be able to adopt a bit of a one-size-fits-all where they, you know, the events share some similarities. They may be able to use the same tech stack across, you know, three or four events. For a company like Closer Still, that's going to differ depending on the markets, the audiences that you're serving. And is that, you know, I wonder if we may be able to just delve into a little bit of, I suppose, the refinement process and how often you're looking to maybe just refine and readdress what tech is being used for a particular type of show?
Yeah, so it's funny you say that. So we're currently going through what I would say like a huge data and digital transformation across the entire business. And I'm sure like many event organizers are going through the same. So typically we've utilized one piece of tech or system for all of our shows, whereas now we're actually going through a process of where we're putting a really clear framework in place so we can understand what each event looks like, who their audience segments are, who their exhibitors are, and how we can communicate with that audience and really understand their needs. And then we're able to go away, look at the show, what we're currently doing with our existing event tech, and then making a decision, okay, right, we either need to invest somewhere else, this doesn't work for a particular show, or we just need to like completely scrap it. The scrapping doesn't happen too often, don't worry. But yeah, we're investing really heavily, like especially around our event apps.
Yeah.
So we've made like the executive decision to scrap most of our like show guides, for example.
Yeah.
And invest more in that digitalization of an event app. And one doesn't fit all. So we use multiple different suppliers dependent on portfolio and the scale of show. So yeah, I'd say that's like one example.
And you're right, I'm fortunate enough to have had experience of using several different mainstream event platform providers. You know, all the names that, you know, anybody listening to this will have been familiar with, particularly in the last, you know, 4 years or so. And in my experience of using them, it's obvious that each one is slightly suited to maybe a different aspect. a lot of them will all, you know, will claim to be, oh, no, no, we can do everything. But generally speaking, some do one element a little bit stronger than another, whether that be being able to incorporate a video or a live stream into an event platform. I think that's a key one now, you know, and sometimes some of them do it better than others. But if it's not a requirement of your event to have that sort of live streamed element into your digital platform, then maybe there are stronger platforms out there to do that job. So that sort of evaluation process is complicated, but I'm guessing from a logistical point of view, it's quite time consuming as well, and the pressure that might put on you to get it right for a particular event that comes around fairly frequently.
Yeah, the time pressure is key, right? We're an industry that is constantly pushing forward at a very fast rate, and at times it is very hard to keep up. You'll think of an event is like in 9 months, then all of a sudden you're 3 months away from the event and you don't really know how it's happened that quickly. So making decisions are normally quite rapid, but we ensure that we consult with the right teams at the right time to make those decisions.
And I guess it doesn't, well, I say it doesn't help the landscape when businesses and brands are emerging and being acquired. I mean, we saw just in the news this week, for context, it's the 19th of January, everybody, when we're recording this today, and there's, you know, I think Cvent acquired two more businesses that will come under the Cvent banner, and you know, when sort of landscape shifts like that, it probably doesn't help people in your role, Rakeem, where you've probably got client contacts and account managers and people at some of these providers that you're dealing with, that the landscape is seemingly ever shifting and evolving.
Yeah, it is hard to keep up, I can't lie. But it's also good that they're being acquired, because obviously, it's number one, it's good for them to collaborate. They can then start utilizing one another's technologies and expertise. So I think it is shifting, and it's shifting pretty quickly, because in the pandemic, a lot of these companies started booming, right?
Yeah.
But now, yeah, it's good that they're starting to refine that and create either platforms that either like a one fits all, or start to tailor it to specific like industries within events.
So much of what we've got available now from a tech point of view in the events industry is incoming data. So we use a lot of these platforms to push out information and get it in front of our audiences and help manage events. But obviously the flip side to that, and almost like the automated part of pushing stuff out, is that you're going to get data back. And how has that evolved in your own experience in sort of stepping into the events sphere? How much easier is it now for you to quantify and analyze data that comes back into you from any sort of platform, be it a social media platform or an event reg platform?
Yeah, I think we were at a point once, right, where we did get the data, but we couldn't visualize it. And now we're in a situation where we've got so much data, how are we going to analyze it? So the step that we've taken closer still is to invest in our like analytical insights and BI reporting. So we're actually able to integrate a lot of our suppliers' data into those BI dashboards. So then we can pull the data that we actually require, rather than being overwhelmed with all this information. One thing that we are starting to hone in on is the high purchase intent. So seeing what our delegates are doing on site, being able to understand like their position within a company, their decision-making power. And then we're able to push certain content to them via these apps or platforms that we're using, and vice versa. We can understand what they're doing on site and who they're engaging with. We don't want to like know exactly who they are. We would never go down to that detail, but it's good to understand a specific audience segment and how they're interacting. Mm-hmm. We're able to make like so many better decisions across both sales and marketing. Sales are able to communicate better with their exhibitors and give them more insights into the data that we have and who they could potentially see on site. And then on the flip side, we're able to deliver specialized content in terms of our conference sessions, what exhibitors are going to be on site, and so on.
Do you use heat mapping at all to sort of monitor, or something that maybe generates a heat map based on, you know, location analysis? Is there anything of that plays a part in your operation?
There, we've had some shows that have trialed that. but I wouldn't say it has been like a real focus, but it's definitely something that's part of our framework moving forward, is to really understand, like, it will help us to where best place certain exhibitors, to place theatres and so on, and also be able to feed that back to exhibitors, because most exhibitors have a successful show, but you want to understand why, rather than just basing it all on, well, for us it's around scanned data, but we want to delve deeper. So yeah, heat mapping is something we are looking into, and using like beacon technology.
Yeah,
but again, there's quite a few companies out there, right, that have that technology, so it's again finding the right supplier,
the minefield of finding the right supplier. Yeah. As well, because you know, it's okay sitting in the demo on a video call with them, showing it to you, and then maybe sending out a sample for you to try out or whatever it may be, but you know, to actually do that with five or six different providers is time consuming, and time is money.
Mm-hmm. It is. And we've got, so like I said, we've got so many events, many marketers, many people that work in sales, and then like I have a team of nine, so even though we wish to work with multiple suppliers, it's also about resource and time.
Of course.
So you've got to work with that right company, and that's not going to take too much time aside from the day-to-day workings of an individual, right?
Absolutely. So something you mentioned about exhibitors having a successful show, to me, certainly the tech and the data, more importantly, that we have available to us now, is not so much relevant for the people who say we had a great show, it was really successful. It's even more relevant to the companies who come to exhibit at a trade show, for example, who say, oh yeah, we didn't really get much from it. Because
yeah,
I find that we're so much better equipped now to deal with that and say, well, that's interesting, were you being proactive enough? Because our data suggests that, you know, 3,000 people walk past your stand over a 2-day period. You know, what were you doing to interact with them? I'm not, you know, there's so much, we're so much better equipped now, the sales team certainly, to actually just throw it back on them a little bit. The onus always used to be on the sales team, which is quite unfair when you see two blokes stood there in suits not talking to anybody for 2 days on their stand.
You don't tend to see that too often anymore, maybe now and then. But I think it is around that training piece, right? We need to put out enough comms and communication around how to run a successful show, what technology we're providing them with on site, and ensuring that they utilize it correctly. And like, there has been times, and I'm sure there is with many companies, where the client actually hasn't utilized the technology correctly.
Yeah.
And then you get pushback on your, like, on the organizer side. So yeah, I think it's around that communication piece. And also, like you say, like the sales members now do have a lot to fall back on based on data. We can see whether you've been scanning. We've at past shows when we have done heat mapping, but we've got those insights to be able to deliver to them. So yeah, like it's many, like a lot of like registration providers and event technology providers are starting to provide better solutions for the organizer, not just with the exhibitor in mind, which is good.
How is lead capture, digital lead capture, something that is just part and parcel of an exhibitor's package now? Does it depend on the show whether or not it's included, or whether or not it's an optional extra? Because a lot of shows out there, it's still an option to maybe buy something like a barcode scanner, or buy a license to use an app on your phone to scan badges. How does it work for you guys?
Yeah, it really does depend. Like, we've got many events, right? So like the sales proposition is different for some shows. For some of our larger events, it is included. And then for others, it may be part of a package. That's more of a commercial thing, right? I don't get too involved in those decisions.
Does the type of provider that you use for those services vary, or does it tend to be quite consistent? Have you had experience of using the barcode ones as well as the app based on people's own devices?
Yeah, it has been consistent in the past, where we would use the actual physical scanners and then scan like lanyards.
Yeah.
We have trialed other ways around where we just have the badge on the app and then it's app scanning.
Yeah.
I think, I wouldn't say it's an issue, but I think where the gap is an exhibitor wants to be able to instantly identify who's either walking past their stand or dwelling. So, and if you don't have that, it's Well, number one, it does force an exhibitor to have a conversation with a delegate to try and find out who they are. But they also, like, your average event is around 2 days, right?
Yeah.
So we want to ensure that the exhibitor is investing the right time on the right individual. So that's why we still have our physical badges. And then we switch between either, yeah, the exhibitor can use like the mobile scanning apps, or we can give them the physical scanners.
And what about mobile touch points? Because again, that's something that I've had some experience of using, and I've seen other events deploy them. I wouldn't say they've come and gone, but I've certainly seen a kind of a phased trend, you know, towards them and then out of them again, where you've got the RFID chip in the actual badge itself, and a delegate can just walk past an exhibitor's stand and just tap a contact point and be emailed some follow-up information. Have you had experience of using those?
I have had experience of using those at some events across different industries, and I've had a good experience because I've then been delivered with the content that I've actually requested, rather than going to an exhibitor stand and then getting a lot of information that may not specifically be relevant. And again, that's something we are looking into as part of our framework for our events, but it won't necessarily work for all.
Yeah.
I think it definitely works for your large scale events where you've got over 300 exhibitors across multiple halls. Like, it definitely works, but for maybe your small intricate events, like, we'd have to test it, I suppose.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, like anything, it comes down to costs, and I think there's this assumption that the big organisers, you know, who run multiple shows internationally, you know, must have the bottomless pits of money to do stuff with. But ultimately, I think that the reality is that the cost often is an even bigger consideration for larger organisations because of the investment that it could potentially represent across an entire group if it's successful. So even though you don't get involved in the commercial side, I guess there's got to be there must be state points with your own role where you've got to look at the cost of a particular platform that you might wish to use, but just at the moment it's just not right for you.
Yeah, that happens quite a lot, and it depends whether it falls down to an individual show budget or a centralized budget. So there's like the thought process and the rationale behind a supplier selection, that there's a lot that goes into it. But again, it comes back to number one, you need to meet our framework requirements, and then number two, it definitely does come down to costs.
this might be a really sort of, you know, boring practical question.
Yeah, go on.
But in terms of hardware and how you what you have available to you, do you have PCs and Apple based stuff? Do you have iOS based devices and Android based devices to test platforms with? What's your process like in understanding the user experience to make sure that attendees, regardless of what they're using to access or interact with one of your events, has the same experience?
Yeah, so we do have a lot of internal kit where we trial and test different platforms, and we do also make sure that is part of the questioning in the supply selection process.
And
you're normally able to find a lot of that information online. But I think the real one of our bugbears comes down to connectivity at exhibition centers. Like, given the scale of them, like, the connectivity can drop now and then, but I know a lot of like the XL, for example, and Olympia, they're improving their infrastructure around connectivity and Wi-Fi, so it is getting better, but I would say that's been one of the biggest gaps utilizing on-site event tech.
As someone with experience now in the last couple of years through Event Tech Live of working in XL as an example, I found the Wi-Fi in there to be reliable, both the free to access networks and the production networks that you can pay to have set up for you as well. And the wired connections, even with what are on paper some of the slower speeds, are really, are really very, very good. And infrastructure as a whole is getting much better. Interestingly, I've found that actually it's some of the sort of the smaller venues that yeah, I've been staggered. I think I had like a 500 up, 500 down connection at just a hotel or something last year for a, you know, a sort of 150 person conference, which 10 years ago, you know, would have been, you know, NASA level, you know, connectivity.
Yeah, it's, yeah, but it's good that they're all making the efforts to make significant change, because we're living in a digital world, right? Yeah. If we can't connect, then what can we do?
Do you have to keep an eye on, for example, the development of 5G technologies? You know, most people's smartphones now, if you're running a fairly new smartphone, you'll have access to 5G cellular network. It doesn't help in venues that have, you know, still physically sort of steel construction, that there's a lot of impact that, you know, the physical buildings have on people's connectivity to cellular networks. But generally, it's getting better. Is that something that you sort of keep an eye on to see how that's improving?
Yeah, we constantly monitor that. So, like, my team will go off to events to trial other competitor events, yeah, to test their technology to ensure that it's working on site. And then the same, and when we want to invest in new technologies, we'll go to one of our own events and ensure that it's working on site. See, but one of the downfalls has been around that mobile connectivity, but it has got considerably better over time, especially towards the last 6 months of last year. It completely improved. Yeah. But I do think it's at the forefront of venues' minds that they need to improve that, which is good. And they are working with a lot of event organizers to ensure that they are meeting the requirements now of anything to do with event tech and digital.
It's good to see how, or on reflection, how many venues, small, medium and large, took the opportunity that the pandemic afforded them back in 2020 to actually use that downtime in infrastructure development, you know, so they could get contractors, engineers, builders on site, you know. And and there's an awful lot of venues out there that thought, okay, what can we do that will benefit us that we can't usually do? And the fact that they were closed and they had no occupancy meant that, you know, engineers could get in pretty much uninhibited, you know, within the restrictions that were there. So on reflection, we are in quite a good point from a connectivity point of view because of the pandemic and what that afforded some of the venues that we work in.
Yeah, definitely. It's good that we're in this position.
It moved on well. One thing, just with one eye on time today, I've not really spoke to you about the collaboration side of things and relationship building, because with all this, all the technology and all the sort of the digital communication that we use, ultimately, if you're working with different providers to supply different elements and services of technology to help you run and execute your events and run the business, having a collaborative approach with them is really, really important. Being able to still pick up a phone or get on a video call or talk to somebody to give them your feedback and input as to how you would like some improvements making is really, really important. How have you found the collaborative process over the last 5 years, and how has that developed for you?
I would say that it's developed really quickly in terms of relationship building. It's like, it's completely key. Like, ever since we've been working with some of our key tech stack providers, we have like bi-weekly meetings to ensure that they're meeting our requirements, and vice versa. Like, we need to understand what they're doing to be able to apply changes.
Sure.
The, like, with some of our portfolios, like, one thing may not work for another portfolio. So we ensure that we share that information, whether it comes directly from me to one of our account managers or directly from like a marketing director for a portfolio or a portfolio director. It's good that we share that knowledge.
Yeah.
I think one great thing about some of our providers that we work with is that they're very responsive and understanding for our own requirements. They're not afraid to develop things for Closer Still, which is good, because I think we have really clear explanations as to why we need something, which only benefits them and also then benefits us because we'll continue to use them. So yeah, communication is really key. And also that face-to-face experience. A lot of our providers actually make the effort to turn up on site for some of our events to run an analysis on how it's going, get to meet some more of the team, and really understand our actual event that we're running from an audience perspective. So then they're able to develop feedback and a strategy for the following show. Yeah. So yeah, a lot of our providers actually do that for us.
And it's a mark of the really successful ones, I think, because, you know, when a platform provider is saying to you, no, this is how you do it and this is how we think you should do it. If you as an organizer have said to a provider, this is what will work for us, 99% of the time, the chances are that that will work for another organizer as well somewhere else. The fact that you've thought of it means that somebody else will probably want it as well. So it's in the tech company's best interest to listen to the feedback from clients like you, because ultimately,
yeah, exactly,
an update or a change, that something that they change to their app, they can sell it to somebody else. We are pretty much actually towards the end of today's conversation, and as we start to wrap things up, maybe we just come back to you, Rakeem, very briefly, just to find out if people want to find out more about what you and your team are up to, what Closer Still are up to, websites, LinkedIn addresses, where can they find you?
So if you want to hear more, you can connect with me on LinkedIn, just search my name. And if you want to hear about our data and digital transformation that we're going through, yeah, just reach out on there or email our comms team and we can tell you more.
Yeah, and be fascinated to talk to you again further down the line. You've referenced a couple of times this transformation that you're going through at the moment. So maybe that's a discussion in its own right further down the line. You know, maybe a year further down the line, you know, we speak to you and maybe have a little bit of a chat about how that actually manifested itself and what the sort of the benefits to doing it were as a business. It'd be great to sort of look at that further down the line.
I think that sounds like a plan. I'm definitely up for that.
Awesome. That's great. Our guest today has been the Group Head of Digital and CRM at Closer Still, Rakeem Asher. Rakeem, it's been great to speak to you today. Thanks very much for taking a bit of time out and also for securing such a professional facility in which to join us from.
Yeah, it was great to speak to you, James. Appreciate your time as well.
No problem at all. And thank you to everybody who's taken the time out to listen or watch today's podcast. If you've used your podcast platform to listen to us today, please don't forget to head over to eventindustrynews.com, where you can find the latest news features, special supplements, everything related to the industry and all the different sort of vertical marketplaces that make up this broad thing that we call the events industry. Whilst you're there, of course, if you're looking for a supplier, a service or a product and you work within the industry, the chances are you will find it on the A to Z supplier directory within Event Industry News. So go and check that out. You can also find video versions of all of our podcasts on the Event Industry News website. And of course, you may have already started your journey there today by watching us. If you have, thank you very much for tuning in. And don't forget to go in the opposite direction. You can go to wherever you get your audio podcasts from, search for Event Industry News, hit subscribe, and you'll be treated to the weekly episodes of the podcast as they drop. So we bring ourselves neatly and nicely to the end of today's episode. My thanks once again to Rakeem Asher, my guest today, for joining us from Closer Still Media. And thanks very much to everybody for tuning in. We'll see you on the next edition of the Event Industry News podcast. Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.